This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, welcome to another lesson in our series about the realities of Jahannam. And today we will be doing a very interesting topic. It is a topic that is expressly mentioned in the Quran, and it is a topic that has a lot of discussion generated since the time of the Sahaba and Tabi'un. And it is a topic that deals with a surah in the Quran that is named after this entire topic of today. And that is Suratu Al-A'raf, which is the seventh surah in the Quran. Suratu Al-A'raf. And in Suratu Al-A'raf, there is a passage in which Allah Azza wa Jal describes a group of people that are neither in hell nor in heaven. And these people are called the people of the A'raf. So today, inshaAllah ta'ala, the entire lecture will be a summary of some of the discussions that our ulama have had and the tabi'un and the sahaba have had with regards to who are the people of the A'raf. And inshaAllah, I will make an educated guess, inshaAllah, at the end. And of course, there are many, as you can imagine, there is over 15 opinions, as you can imagine. This is a very, controversial topic. But inshaAllah ta'ala, I think one opinion seems to be definitely the one that has a lot of evidence, and it makes the most sense as well. So today we're going to be doing the entire issue of the story, not the story, but the verses pertaining to the people of the A'raf and who they are. So the first thing I ask all of you to do is, inshallah ta'ala, if you can, if you're watching this online, pause the video, pick up a copy of the Quran, and then follow along with me, because we're going to be doing these verses. It is Suratu Al-A'raf, verses 43 onwards. Suratu Al-A'raf, verses 43 onwards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in this surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the people of Jannah. وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍّ. We shall remove the animosity in their hearts. So the people of Jannah, they will enter Jannah. We talked about that this is going to happen at the Qantara. We talked about this in our previous series, remember? And they shall be entered in to rivers flowing beneath them. And they will say, Alhamdulillah, all praises due to Allah who has guided us to this place. If Allah had not guided us, we would never be guided. Indeed, the messengers have spoken the truth, and they shall hear a voice, a proclamation. This is the Jannah that you inherited, or you were caused to enter because of what you used to do. So the people of Jannah have entered Jannah. That's 43. Verse 44. وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ. The people of Jannah shall call the people of Jahannam. They're going to call out to them. So there shall be a period of time as soon as they enter, each group is going to enter that, and according to other interpretations of the Quran, it seems that every once in a while there shall be that window. Every once in a while, the people of Jannah will be able to see the people of Jahannam. And this is perhaps the first time that where they've just entered. And so there's a portal, there's a window that the people of Jannah are looking down and they're seeing the people of Jahannam. So, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ. The people of Jannah will call to the people of النار. أنقد وجدنا ما وعدنا ربنا حقا. We found the promise of Allah true. So did you find the promise of Allah true as well? They will say, yes, we found it to be true. Yes, it is finally true. So the people of Jannah are going to question the people of Jahannam. Didn't we tell you? Didn't we tell you this is going to happen? And we have lived up to what we told you, and Allah has lived up to His promise. And what Allah promised us, we got. So do you agree now that everything is as we told you? And of course the people of Jahannam will say, yes, you were right and we were wrong. And then Allah says, فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Then a crier is going to call out and announcement will be made, أَلَّعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, that Allah's curse is upon those who did wrong. Who were those who did wrong? الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They were those who hindered people from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they tried to distort it, and those who denied the hereafter. Okay, so we are now getting to the verses we need to. So the first series talks about the people of Jannah, and they're calling out to the people of Jahannam. Now, verse number 46, this is the crucial verse here. وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ. Between Jannah and Jahannam, there is a wall, a barrier. Between the people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam, there is a hijab, a barrier. بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُمَا حِجَابٌ وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالًا. And upon the elevated places, right? Al-A'raf is the plural of Urf. And here, of course, Urf has many meanings. Arafa means to know, for example. Urf also means customs and habits. And Urf also means a high place. Urf means like a mountain or a hilltop. This is what one is Urf. And the plural of it is A'raf. Okay? So, وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ. And upon these hilltops, upon something that is higher up than the rest of the area. وَعَلَى الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالٍ. There's going to be people over there. يَعْرِفُونَ كُلًّا بِسِيمَاهُمْ. They shall recognize both sides. They shall recognize the people of Jannah, and they shall recognize the people of Jahannam by their features, by their characteristics. They shall recognize them. And they shall call out to the people of Jannah. وَنَادَ أُصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. They're going to call out to the people of Jannah. سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكُمْ. Peace be unto you. لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا. They have not yet entered Jannah. وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ. And they are very eager to enter Jannah. طَمَعَ is to strongly desire. طَمَعَ is to have, يعني sometimes even in English, sometimes it means greed in a negative way, and sometimes it means a very positive desire. They're very strongly desiring to enter Jannah. And وَإِذَا صُرِفَتْ أَبْصَارُهُمْ تِلْقَى أَصْحَابِ النَّارِ. When they turn towards the people of Jahannam, they will say, رَبَّنَا لَا تَجْعَلْنَا مَعَ الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Do not make us with those ظَالِمِينَ people. So the people of the A'raf, and of course the whole lecture today is who are they and what is their, yani what is the point of this A'raf? We're going to come to this inshallah at the end. So the people of A'raf, they see the people of Jannah and they're saying, Salaamu Alaikum, peace be unto you. And they're eager to enter Jannah, but they are not yet in Jannah. لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا. They haven't yet entered Jannah, but they have that desire. Then they see the people of Jahannam and they make dua to Allah, oh Allah, we don't want to go there. We do not want to go there. And then, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ الْأَعْرَافِ رِجَالًا. Then, the people of the A'raf will call out to specific people that they recognize. Right? They're going to recognize some people in Jahannam. They're going to recognize so and so and so and so. And they will then say, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ جَمْعُكُمْ وَمَا كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. Did all of the money that you hoarded together, did it come in handy? Were you actually useful now? All of that you never gave for the sake of Allah, you were stingy, you never fed the poor person, you never sponsored the orphan, all of that money, where is it now? And your arrogance of rejecting the truth, your arrogance of refusing to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that arrogance that you used to be so proud and mighty, you thought you controlled this world, where is that arrogance now? And then verse number 49. Now who says this is a bit of a controversy or what? Not a controversy. It is a controversy. I mean, it's a ikhtilaf. Who says it? But how does it translate? Verse number 49. أَهَٰؤُلَىٰ الَّذِينَ أَقْسَمْتُمْ. Are these the ones whom you swore that Allah shall never touch with mercy? Are these the people? Who are these? We're going to come to the people, the difference of opinion. Are these the people that you swore, you made a qasam, that Allah will not touch them with mercy? أُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Enter the garden. لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ تَحْزَنُونَ. There shall be no fear or no grieving upon you. So, verse number 49. Somebody is told, group X is told, about group Y. That did you think, you really thought that group Y is not going to enter Jannah? Go ahead and enter Jannah. Okay? So group X and group Y. Who is group X? Who is being told? Who is doing the talking? That's another thing we can say. Who is being spoken to and which group is being spoken about, right? There's three parties over here, right? So all of these we're going to come to inshallah ta'ala. And then verse 50 onwards is a very simple one. And that is that, وَنَادَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ أَصْحَابَ الْجَنَّةِ. The people of the nar called out to the people of the Jannah. So when that portal opens up and the people of Jannah are speaking to the people of nar, when that portal opens up, and they can have a conversation, and the people of Jannah say to the people of Jahannam, didn't Allah's promise prove to be true? And the people of Jahannam will say, indeed it proved to be true. You were right, we were wrong. But now they see that portal, and they see the fruits of Jannah, and the rivers of Jannah, and the waters of Jannah, and the fragrance of Jannah, and they are in Jahannam. And so they are begging the people of Jannah, أَنْ أَفِيضُ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ الْمَاءِ, that why don't you pour some of that water over us, or at least those fruits, whatever Allah has given you, مِمَّا رَزَقَهُمُ اللَّهُ, whatever Allah has given you, give them to us. And then the people of Jannah will say, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَهُمْ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that Allah has forbidden anything from Jannah upon the kafirin. And these were those who, verse number 51, who took their religion as a joke. They took religion as something to mock, and they were deceived by the life of this world. So, فَالْيَوْمَ نَنْسَهُمْ, today we shall ignore them as they ignored us. We shall neglect them as they neglect us. As they never cared about the Akhirah, so now they shall never be cared for as well, and because they used to deny our revelations. Now, this series of verses is the only reference in the entire Quran to the people of the A'raf. There is no other reference in the Quran to the people of the A'raf. As well, there is no authentic hadith about the people of the A'raf. There are some weak ones. There is no authentic hadith about the people of the A'raf. This has led to, as I said, over 15 opinions in the earliest books of tafsir. Obviously, we are not going to go over each and every one of them. That is not the time for something of that nature. But I will summarize at least 10 of these opinions. And depending on how we interpret who the people of A'raf are, so then we can then understand who is being told what about which group. In other words, verse number 49, which is one of the key verses here, is that who is being told what? Who is the group that is being referenced? Are these the people that you swore would never be forgiven by Allah? No, enter Jannah and you shall all be forgiven. So if we understand verse number 49, then the rest of the context comes into place. So what is then the A'raf? We said the A'raf linguistically is the plural of Urf, and Urf here, of course, Urf has many meanings. As we said, here it means a high place. So A'raf here means a high place. Therefore, there shall be a high place above hell. Some have said that high place is this hijab that Allah references. Surah Al-A'raf, وَبَيْنَهُمَا hijab. And so there is something. Others have said that this hijab is a reference to in Surah Al-Hadid. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, we talked about this when we talked about the Day of Judgment, وَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةُ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ, that there shall be a wall that is placed between the people who are going to Jannah and the people who are going to Jahannam. So there is that wall, sur, Allah calls it in the Quran, بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٍ. So some have said the people of the A'raf are on that wall. The people of the A'raf are on that wall. On one side is going to be mercy, the people of Jannah. On the other side is going to be the people of Jahannam. Some have said that the A'raf is a reference to the Sirat itself. And we talked about the Sirat when we talked about the Qiyamah. So some have said the people of A'raf are going to be on the Sirat, and they have not yet entered Jannah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala commented, he said, that the A'raf is تَلٌ بَيْنَ الْجَنَّةِ وَالنَّارِ حُبِسَ عَلَيْهِ نَاسٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الذُّنُوبِ. It is a mound. It is a hill that is between heaven and hell, and the people who are people of sin are taken there and sequestered for a while. Right, they're stopped. They're not yet in Jannah. So this is Ibn Abbas' statement as reported in Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. So he explains it very clearly in his mind. Number one, the A'raf is like a hill or a mini mountain. It is between heaven and hell. And number two, the people on it are sinners, أهل الذنوب. They are Muslim sinners. And this shall be the conclusion that inshallah ta'ala we will also conclude within this lecture. But of course I have to go over all of the other opinions as well. Now, There's a number of points that we need to discuss. The people that are being talked about, the people of A'raf, who are they? As I said, there's over 15 opinions. I will divide all of the opinions into a number of categories, okay? The first category of opinions is the dominant and the majority opinion, and it is, inshallah, the strongest one, and it is the one that Ibn Abbas himself said. And all of these opinions center around various sinners of the Muslims. So, for example, one of the most common opinions mentioned by the early scholars is these are people whose good and bad deeds are equivalent. And so they neither go to heaven nor they go to hell. So they're in the middle. These are people whose good and bad deeds are equivalent. That is the first opinion out of all of this genre of, you know, we said sinners. The second opinion is that these are people who went for jihad fi sabilillah, but they also disobeyed their parents, okay? So these are people that they went for jihad fi sabilillah, but they also disobeyed their parents. And there is a weak hadith to this effect as well. A weak hadith is a missing link in it, that it is alleged that the Prophet said, it is not an authentic hadith, that these are people who قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that they were killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they also disobeyed their parents. And so because they were killed in the way of Allah, they shall never enter Jahannam, excuse me. But because they disobeyed their parents, so they are not yet in Jannah. Okay, so it's talking about a group of people who have good deeds and bad deeds. Each one is pulling, but because they're both there, they're stuck in the middle. Another interpretation of the scholars of the Salaf still within the first category. So again, if you do, please don't get confused. This is 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. We're still in category 1, which is the sinners of the Muslims. And we're showing, we're demonstrating that a lot of the early ulama, they had phrases that indicate this. So we said, number one, good and bad deeds are the same, which basically means you're not a very good person, you're not a very bad person. Number two, people who went into battle, but they disobeyed their parents. Number three, 1C you can say, people who committed major sins, but did not do tawbah. Okay, so they're drunkards, they're drug users, but they didn't do tawbah. So they're Muslims, but they have major sins and they're not forgiven. Number four, people who had a lot of minor sins, and they don't have enough good deeds to make kafara for the minor sins, right? So the difference between 3 and 4 is basically, the concept is the same, is that a major sin that you haven't repented, or a minor sin that you don't have enough good deeds to extinguish, okay? Number five, 1-5, well, again, not number five, let's say 1's A, B, C, D, E, 1E, let's say. 1E, those who had debts to other people, and they would take debts from other people, and they died without paying those debts off, right? So they're going to be stopped until the good deeds or whatnot are taken care of, because again, we know that dying in debt is a major sin if you are abusing and you're just getting the generosity of other people. And then 1F, we can say that people who did good deeds, but they were showing off their good deeds. So there's an element for Allah and an element for other people, and therefore the deed is neither going to be accepted by Allah fully, but still they had some, yani somewhere they were doing something for Allah's sake. So according to this opinion, there are people who did good deeds, but they were showing off the good deeds. Now, all of these specific examples, they center around one reality, and that is the sinners of the Muslims, okay? Best illustrated by those who said they did jihad, but they disobeyed their parents. So they have good deeds and they have bad deeds. So they're giving the two most extreme examples, right? Being a martyr for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then also being bad to your parents, okay? So they brought together the two most blatant examples of good deeds and bad deeds, and they said they have both of them, right? And another would say that, oh, these are people that didn't, you know, repent from their bad deeds. All of these opinions center around one reality, and that is, these are Muslims who, for whatever reason, didn't do enough. Either they have major sins, or too many minor sins, or no repentance, etc., etc. That's one category of opinions. The second category of opinions completely reverses the understanding of the people of A'raf, okay? The second category of opinion says that these people are innocent, but not quite innocent. So there's that gray area of certain categories of people that they are not sinful, but they're not righteous either. And a number of early opinions have mentioned this. So of them, for example, the people of the Fatrah. The people of the Fatrah are those who live between two time frames of the prophets, okay? So they didn't receive the message of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but at the same time, they are following the previous nations without necessarily being righteous people. So neither are they believers, nor are they technically rejecting any message. So this is the people of the Fatrah. Others have mentioned over here in this second genre of opinions, the children of the pagans, because there is a huge controversy in Islam. Maybe one day we'll come to it in some lecture regarding the children of the those who worshipped idols. Inshallah, the strongest position is that children are children, and they shall inshallah ta'ala enter Jannah, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows their fate and future. So they are not held sinful because they died as children. But some group of ulama, they said, Ahl al-Fatrah, they're going to be in this A'raf, neither hell nor heaven. Okay, so they're not going to be in any location. One opinion as well is mentioned, which is a strange opinion, that for some reason, back in those days, they would feel that illegitimate children, children born out of wedlock, it is as if they are sinners. But of course, in reality, they are not sinners. They have not done any wrong. Any child that is born out of wedlock, the sin is on the people who did it, not upon him at all. But some, you know, people of the past, they felt that an illegitimate child, there is a stain on him, and this is not Islamic. But they felt this way. So they have, we have some tabi'un and whatnot. They said these are the children born out of wedlock. Now this whole category, frankly, does not make any sense. That all of these categories mentioned, they haven't committed a sin. They, Allah will deal with them, and inshallah, Allah is Ghafoor and Rahim by and large. In with regards to the people of the Fatrah, there's more detail, but definitely the children of the pagans and the children of those born out of wedlock, that has nothing to do with heaven and hell. They are sinless if they died as children, and they will not be held accountable. The third category of opinions, so we talked about three opinions that are just in the middle. The third category of opinions regards the Ahl al-A'raf as not taking place after heaven and hell, but taking place on the day of judgment, okay? So it changes the time frame. Both opinion 1 and 2 can be interpreted to mean after the people of heaven enter heaven and the people of hell enter hell. There's going to be a third category that is left outside of both of them. So they're neither in heaven nor in hell for a period of time. So that's the first two genres of, or the two categories. The third category of opinions says the whole episode of Ashab al-A'raf is taking place live on the day of judgment. It is taking place before the gates of Jannah are closed and the gates of Jahannam are closed. It's at the very end stages that people are entering Jannah and people are entering Jahannam, and there's still people left on Qiyamah. And one group that is left on Qiyamah is the Ashab al-A'raf. You understand this point here, right? Now, if you interpret it this manner, all of a sudden, the Ashab al-A'raf become positive people, not negative. Okay, if you interpret it as a live event, that there are people that are on a mountain or on a hill while people are entering Jannah and people are entering Jahannam, then the whole scene changes, because then it is very clear that these are people that are going to enter Jannah eventually before Jannah closes, and so they are thanking Allah that they're not amongst the people of Jahannam. And therefore, according to this interpretation, who are these people on the mountaintop or on the hill? Some have said they are the prophets themselves. So the Ashab al-A'raf become the prophets. And now go read the verses thinking that they are the prophets. Or some have said they are the shuhada, that every nation has a shaheed, right? So that Allah says in the Quran that every nation has shuhada. And so these are going to be the shuhada. Or some have said these are the salihin. Or some have said these are the ulama. Or some have said these are the righteous. Or some have said these are the shuhada. So basically, this category of opinions, category 3. So he said three categories of opinions, right? The first category, the sinful of the Muslims. The second category, neither innocent nor guilty. And to me, that's the weakest. Yeah, we should just get rid of this opinion altogether. The third category, that this is taking place on the Day of Judgment, and the people of the A'raf are, in fact, the righteous people, maybe even the prophets themselves. Now, go read now the verse again, that the people of A'raf, the people of A'raf will recognize the people of Jannah and will recognize the people of Jahannam. And they will say to the people of Jannah, Salamun Alaikum. And they have not yet entered, but they are eager to enter, so they're going to enter soon. وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ And when they turn to the people of Jahannam, they will say, Oh Allah, don't make us amongst them. And then verse number 49, right? This is now the key point of how you understand it. Verse number 49, Are these the ones whom you swore to Allah shall not enter the Garden of Mercy? Enter the garden, you have nothing to fear and you have nothing to grieve. Now, who says verse number 49? To whom and who is it a reference to? If the people of the A'raf are the prophets or the righteous or the salihin or the ulama or the fuqaha or the shuhada, if the people of the A'raf are righteous, then they are telling the people of Jahannam, Did you used to think that those people entering Jannah are not going to enter Jannah? You used to make fun of them? You used to say that the righteous shall not enter Jannah? Go ahead and enter Jannah. You have nothing to fear and you shall enter, you know, live there permanently. So, according to this opinion, the people of Jahannam are being told that you used to deny the people of Jannah are going to go to Jannah. Now look, they're entering Jannah. So it is a mockery of them. They're being made to feel even more humiliated that the people of Jannah are entering Jannah. Okay? So this is the third group of opinions. However, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, this does not seem to be the strongest position really at all. Rather, it seems to be that the correct opinion is the first category of opinions, which is all of them are basically the same. Basically, the concept is these are the people who are not going to enter Jannah because of the sins that they have done, because they are not righteous enough, but they will eventually enter Jannah. Okay? And so the context changes completely. Therefore, what happens now is that we look at the Ashab al-A'raf, and the Ashab al-A'raf, they shall recognize the people of Jannah, and they are eager to enter Jannah. So one of the key phrases is yatma'un. Generally speaking, the word tama'a is not a positive verb, generally. Obviously, there are many exceptions. And that's why Fakhreddin al-Razi says, this group cannot be the prophets, because the word tama'a is there. And it is not befitting that the prophets have tama'a of Jannah. They know they're going to enter Jannah. It's not befitting. Rather, these are people, they're not quite certain they're going to enter Jannah or not. They're not certain. And they're eager to enter Jannah. They're desirous to enter Jannah. They're greedy to enter Jannah. And they're not in Jannah. لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَمْ يَطْمَعُونَ And this makes sense to the unrighteous of the Muslims. This makes sense to those who believed in Allah Azza wa Jal but didn't do enough good deeds to enter Jannah. So they believe in Jannah and they're eager to get into Jannah, but they don't have enough deeds to enter Jannah. لَمْ يَدْخُلُوهَا وَهُمْ يَطْمَعُونَ And then, when they look at the people of Jahannam, they make dua to Allah, Oh Allah, we don't want to go there. We do not want to go there. We do not want to enter Jahannam. And the fact that they speak out to the people of Jahannam and they say, what was the use of all of that money? And they say, where's your arrogance now? It indicates that the people of A'raf, at the very least, they gave some charity. It indicates at the very least, they had enough humility to bow their heads in front of Allah and they did not commit the type of takabbur, the type of arrogance to reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the people of A'raf as well are not in Jannah. It's very clear because the people of Jahannam, they call the people of Jannah and they say, give us water and give us fruits and give us drinks. They do not call the people of the A'raf, right? So the people of A'raf are not in Jannah. And they are in between. And then the phrase in verse 49, are these the ones whom you used to swear that they shall not be touched with Allah's mercy? This applies to the people of the A'raf. People in this world used to criticize these men for wicked deeds, drunkards, sinners, people who dealt with riba, any major sin. And there were others who said, ah, these people, look at them. They don't do this regularly. They're not regular musallin. They're not in the elite, the creme de la creme of the society. You know, they're not, you know, praying to hajj or whatever. Yeah, major sinners, basically, right? And they are believers. And so people would say, Allah is not going to forgive them. Nobody should ever say that. So Allah is criticizing those who thought themselves pious. And Allah is saying,
Are these people, the people of A'raf, the same ones that you used to swear that Allah shall never forgive? Then Allah says to them, أُدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةِ. Go ahead and enter Jannah. You have nothing to fear and you shall never grieve or worry. So it is Allah speaking to the people of the A'raf, telling the people of the A'raf that they are forgiven, which means in this life, they were doing things that a lot of people did not like. They were sinful. They were evil people who had piety as well. And that's why Allah is saying some groups of people made a qasam that they're never going to be forgiven, and Allah is saying they shall be forgiven. So it seems very clear, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, it seems very clear that the people of A'raf are what are called the Usat al-Muwahideen. Okay, this is the technical term. We can call them all as well, Fasiqeen of the Muslims. Okay, the sinners of those who perfected Tawheed, or at least were upon Tawheed. Okay, the sinners of the Muslims. This is who the Ahl al-A'raf are. Now, this fits in perfectly with so many things that we have said, you know, from the last lectures that I've kept on saying so many times, that in fact, the people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who had an ounce of iman, they shall not enter the actual Jahannam. They shall be punished by the peripheries of Jahannam, by the heat of Jahannam, by the smoke of Jahannam. The fire of Jahannam will affect them from afar, not from within. Anyone who had iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall not enter the doors of Jahannam, even if they are punished. Their punishment will be a different type of punishment. So, what appears to be the case, and this is the position that I am advocating, but in the end, Allah Azza wa Jalla knows it is just an ijtihad, it is just a position. I am not the first, there are great ulama before me, and just know that there are many positions, as we said, more than 15 opinions. But the position that I think seems to make the most sense, everything fits into place, it literally check, 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 everything fits into place. The Ashabul A'raf are the sinful Muslims. That's what they are. The ones who were destined to be punished, but they'll eventually get to Jannah. That's who the Ashab al-A'raf are. So all of those who said La ilaha illallah, and who believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who did whatever good deeds, they are not in, but they didn't do enough to get into Jannah, right? They have major sins. They didn't pray regularly. They didn't give their full zakah. Whatever they might be, they had major sins that they did not repent from. Those people are the Ashab al-A'raf. And everything now fits in. That the Ashab al-A'raf, لم يدخلوها, they did not enter Jannah, but they are so eager. They want to enter Jannah. And they recognize the people of Jannah. Salamun alaykum. They recognize their friends. Obviously, they're Muslims. They know their friends. But they weren't to that level. And they say, Salamun alaykum. There you are. You know, peace be unto you. And then they recognize some of the people of Jahannam as well, because they're in that middle group, right? I mean, in the end of the day, we all know righteous people and we all know evil people. That's the way the world is. But the Ashab al-A'raf, they are literally friends with both, because they are in that camp that they know the righteous, but they also have friends of the other camp as well. And so they will point to specific people and they will say to them, why didn't you believe? What use was your takabbur and arrogance? Where's all of your money now? Right? So this indicates that the Ashab al-A'raf, they at least had enough iman to do some good deeds. Enough iman to lower their head to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this proves the fact as well, that a number of things prove this as well, that of them is the famous hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that I have mentioned previously as well, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَمَّا أَهْلُ النَّارِ الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَهْلُهَا فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَمُوتُنَ فِيهَ وَلَا يَحْيَوْنَ. That the people of Jahannam, who are really the people of Jahannam, they will never live or die, they're going to be in there permanently. وَلَكِنْ نَاسٌ أَصَابَتْهُمُ النَّارُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ. But there shall be a group of people, the fire affects them because of their sins. Notice, what I am saying, and again do realize, all of this is ilm al-ghayb, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows in the end. What I'm advocating as a position, as an opinion, and Allah knows best, I could be wrong in this, that no one who is a believer in Allah, who has an ounce of iman in Allah, will actually be in Jahannam proper. Even if they are worthy of being punished, their punishment will be from the effects of the fire and not from the fire itself. This is what the hadith says, that there shall be people, أَصَابَتْهُمُ النَّارُ بِذُنُوبِهِمْ, the fire shall affect them because of their sins. But that's not the same as أَهْلُ النَّارُ. The أَهْلُ النَّارُ are separate from the Muslims who shall be punished by the Naar. Remember, there shall be Muslims punished by Naru Jahannam, but they're not going to be entering Jahannam from the doors of Jahannam, because anybody who enters Jahannam through the doors of Jahannam, أُدْخُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِي. Anybody who enters the actual pits of Jahannam, they shall never exit from the doors of Jahannam. So then where are the righteous, where are the sinners of the Muslims going to be punished? These are the Ashabul A'raf. So they are above the fire of hell, but eventually the fire of hell shall get to them. The smoke, the heat, the exhaustion, the suffocation, and some worse than others. Some might be lower on in the A'raf than others. Some shall be burnt to a crisp, as our Prophet ﷺ said, that they're going to be burnt to a crisp, but not within Jahannam. They're not going to be in Jahannam. They shall be in the place of A'raf. And then eventually, as we know, and we talked about this when we talked about the Shafa'ah, go back to those series of lectures, groups of people of the righteous shall make Shafa'ah. And they shall find these types of people that were semi-righteous and semi-sinful, and they shall be taken in batches. And that is why Allah is saying, "Udkhulul Jannah." In the end, the Ashabul A'raf shall enter Jannah. Every single one of them. So then, and of course, this fits in perfectly with all of the opinions that mention the A'raf as being the people who have good deeds and bad deeds, or the people whose good and bad are equal, or the people who went for jihad and they deserted their parents, or the people who didn't repent from the major sins. All of this fits in perfectly over there. So therefore, the Ashabul A'raf are Muslims who did not do enough to do good deeds. And what proves this, there are a number of evidences as well that we can kind of sort of, you know, derive from this as well. Of them is the famous hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, muttafaq alayhi hadith, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever testifies to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sincerely from his heart, haramallahu ala an-nar. Allah has made the fire of hell haram for him. Now, every Muslim at some level has to testify to the kalima. Every Muslim. Whoever says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, everybody should say the kalima now. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Whoever says the kalima from the depths of his heart, truly believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the prophethood of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Allah has made the nar haram for him. Now question, the Muslim who drinks, does he not say the kalima? The murderer of the Muslim, does he not say the kalima? The one who does so many other sins, he takes riba, he does this and that, does he not say the kalima? Every Muslim at some point in time is going to say the kalima, or else they're not Muslim, right? Every Muslim is going to do some good deed some point in time, right? They're going to do some charity or some fasting or some salah even. And again, what proves this point as well is the famous hadith as well, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim, that Allah has made Jahannam haram upon every limb that has done sajda. Every mawadi' as-sujud, every place that has done sajda, Allah has made it haram. Okay? So anytime sajda is done, the places of sajda, they are haram for the fire of hell to touch. Now, I ask you by Allah, that doesn't even the sinful Muslim, even the drunkard, doesn't he pray once in a while, right? Once a year, Salat al-Eid, he will come and pray. And what did our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say? The places, athar al-sujud, the places of sajda, the fire of hell is not going to affect that, is not going to touch that. So this also shows us, therefore, that the people who are being punished for sinful deeds, but they are believers, that their punishment shall be at a location that is not in the depths of Jahannam. And this fits perfectly with the whole narrative of Ashabul A'raf, And therefore, the Ashab al-A'raf, once again, are the sinful of the Muslim Ummah. They shall be there for a period of time. How long? Each one in accordance with however much Allah has destined for him. Some people will be let go early, and some people will stay for a longer time, but eventually, أُدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ every one of them. And in the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri as well, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that as for these Muslims that are, you know, sinful, a group of them will remain until they are burnt to a crisp. They are burnt completely, and then they shall be allowed to enter Jannah, and they shall be told to jump into the river of life. And once they jump into that river, they shall come back as if they were completely fresh and new. And so that is the people of the A'raf. And this also makes us as well very concerned amongst all of us, that let us make sure that we have enough good deeds, that we have repented from our major sins, that we have enough good deeds to make kafara for our minor sins. Because we said, when we talked about the issue of, well, in another lecture, another series of lectures, I talked about major and minor sins. And I mentioned that major sins will never be forgiven unless Allah wishes to, or unless the person has done tawbah. Major sins require tawbah. And the Ashab al-A'raf are those who are perpetual major sinners without tawbah. Or minor sins in which you don't have enough good deeds to make kafara for the minor sins. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that the minor sins are all absolved by the rituals that we do. So the five daily salawat are a kafara for the minor sins. Ramadan to Ramadan, fasting Ramadan is a kafara for the minor sins. Umrah to Umrah is a kafara for the minor sins. Hajj is obviously kafara for everything. So notice here, the one who prays five times a day, all of his minor sins, kafara is done. So he doesn't have to worry about us being of the people of A'raf. So who's going to be the people of A'raf? Those people who prayed on and off. And they have so many major, minor sins even. And they have to then account for them in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is essential that we perform all of the rituals, the daily salawat. The wudu, by the way, is a kafara for the sins. Regularly doing wudu, regularly praying five times a day, regularly fasting the month of Ramadan, doing as many hajjs and umrahs that we can, this will make kafara for our minor sins. And as for the major sins, we need a special tawbah. We turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for repentance for those major sins. And if we do so, then there is a guarantee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that all of the minor sins will be forgiven. As Allah says in the Quran, in a very explicit verses, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ. If you avoid the major sins that we have forbidden you, like murder, like highway robbery, like, you know, riba or something. If you avoid the major sins that we have forbidden you, نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ. We shall absolve and we shall expiate all of your other sins. وَنُدْخِلُكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. And we shall cause you to enter into a noble abode. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect me and you from any major sin, every falling into it. And if we do fall into it, we turn Allah to repentance. We turn to Allah in repentance. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal for the kafara for all of our minor sins. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to actually not allow us to be of the people of the A'raf who want to be immediately going to Jannah. I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to guide me and you to that which is best and which He loves. And inshallah ta'ala, we will continue in our next lesson. We have a very exciting lesson next time, which is the controversy over the eternality of Jahannam or not. How is Jahannam going to be permanent or not? I wanted to stop here because that's a very specific topic that deserves its own lecture. So inshallah we'll do that one next time. Until then, jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya man ajabta du'a Nuhin fantasar wa hamaltahu fi fulkika al-mashhun. Ya man ahala an-nar hawl khalilihi rawhan wa rayhanan بقولك كون